You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
There are more and more countries censoring what people can access on the internet, and the scope of what they filter is growing all the time. This is a key finding of a study currently being conducted by the Open Net Initiative. The Open Net Initiative is a collaborative partnership of four universities, Toronto, Oxford, Cambridge, and Harvard. Rob Farris works at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School, and he is research director with the Open Net Initiative, and he joins me by phone today from Massachusetts. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Good, thanks. How did you go about getting the data about which countries filter and what they filter?
What we do, Jane, is we want to replicate exactly the experience of users around the world. So what we've done is we've created a software program that volunteers around the world run in order to test exactly what's available and what's not available. So these volunteers then use their own connections and their own computers in most instances, run the software, collect data, and then send it back to us, where our technical experts review the data and try to figure out what's going on.
So what kind of sites typically are the ones that you're interested in checking?
Well, we've done a survey of filtering around the world, and we've lumped kind of the motivations and the targets for filtering in a few buckets, one of which is political, which would mostly relate to governmental opposition groups, dissidents, and other political parties. Another bucket is social issues, so it could be sexually related materials, pornography, gambling, drug and alcohol use, things of that sort. We've also looked at security-related blocking. So if there's a separatist movement or people have fears of terrorism and those kinds of things, those groups may be blocked as well. And the last bucket that we have is that covers internet tools. So it could be circumvention tools that are used to get around the filters of governments. Can also be Web 2.0 tools, so photo sharing, YouTube, and those kinds of things. There's another topic which kind of spans a few of those, which is religious thought as well, which might be thought of as either a social or a political issue, depending on where you are.
How is access to that kind of information blocked? What kind of strategies do the blockers use?
There's a few technical strategies that you can employ. They're usually carried out by the internet service providers in these countries at the behest of the government. There's the simplest and least expensive ones are to block the IP address, the internet protocol address of a website, or tamper with the DNS record, which translates the domain name of a website into the IP address. Both of those are very problematic in that on a domain name, say CNN.com or BBC.co.uk, house certainly many, many websites. And so it's a little bit sloppy of a way to block a website. You're going to have a lot of collateral damage associated with that. Blocking an IP address could be even worse. You would end up blocking all of YouTube when there's only one or two offending videos on the site. From there, you can go to a much more sophisticated system which blocks by individual web pages or URLs. That requires a much greater investment in blocking, though, and also has a higher cost in slowing down web traffic in doing so.
Where does most of the filtering in the world take place?
Certainly Asia and the Middle East and North Africa are where a large majority of the filtering is taking place. But there is filtering in Europe and even in North America.
Now, I understand that a place, even in a place like Korea, where it's an extremely wired country, filtering takes place there, but it's quite specific.
That's right. Korea focuses on content related to North Korea and the conflict there. And they're quite comprehensive in blocking that type of material. They, in the past, they blocked gay and lesbian-related material, though they've reduced the filtering of that. They continue to filter gambling sites there. And they're also attempting a rather ambitious, and I'm not sure they're going to succeed or not. They're trying to create age verification so that minors won't get access to adult-related material there.
Do people in the countries where this is happening have any idea of that their access to information is being filtered?
In those countries that block a lot of content, then yes, people are going to know. It would be hard to not know. China, for example, if you put the wrong keyword into a search engine or try to pull up a politically sensitive site, chances are good that your connection to that site will be reset. You'll get an error message, and you have to wait and try again later. And other places like the Middle East, there's a lot of material being blocked, and it's going to be quite obvious.
Why is it important to tackle the issue of internet filtering?
Well, I mean, the underlying issue that's deeply important here is one of free speech. And the internet has, in most cases, been a boon for free speech around the world. In most countries, the level of allowable speech online is far greater than that offline. The tools to filter online speech are not as good as offline speech. And for that reason, free speech has gotten a boost from the internet. Filtering then is the reaction to that, the counter reaction to that. And so we're very interested in knowing how countries are countering free speech on the internet and what the impact of that is going to be. The reason that we have a role in the world is that most of this activity is done very, very quietly. It's the decisions by software writers and administrators within the governments, and it's not widely known without work such as this exactly what is being blocked and where.
So you're really trying to shine a light on what actually is happening.
Yes, exactly. Our belief is that we're not as dogmatic to say that nothing should ever be filtered anywhere, but we do believe that these decisions are social, political issues that should be debated, and people should understand not only what is being blocked, why it's being blocked, and what the implications of that are.
What's your hope about what will happen with the information that you gather in your study?
Our hope is to educate a range of organizations on the activities on the level of filtering around the world, so that this could foster a dialogue on this issue, both, as you say, to shine a light on the activities of governments that weren't known otherwise, but also to be able to elevate this to a higher level, to be able to actually have conversations about this and ask the questions about what are the best means to counteract the downsides of the internet while protecting the aspects that we enjoy.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me today, Rob.
It's been my pleasure, Jane. Thank you so much.
Rob Farris works at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School. You can find out more about their research at the website of the OpenNet Initiative, and that website is opennet.net.